Isaiah chapter 13. We've been doing a little study about nations in the millennial kingdom, millennial places. And we've talked about Jerusalem, the Gentiles in general, the Arab nations, particularly Egypt. And we also talked about Assyria and Saudi Arabia, Iran, and this morning, Babylon. We want to remember, of course, that there are two places marked out in the scriptures for absolute and utter destruction. And of course, those places are once again the land of Kedar, the sons of Ishmael, Saudi Arabia today, and also Babylon. They will not exist as nations or geographical places that men inhabit during the millennial kingdom. Now, having covered Kedar, the Ishmaelites, let's now turn our attention to Babylon. In this particular instance, we have saved the worst till last. Babylon, Isaiah chapter 13. Now, I was going to start way down in the chapter, but let's read a few verses from the beginning of the chapter. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for my anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The check's in the mail. Let's now drop down to verse number 19. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dance there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant places. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Now, of course, this speaks of the millennial kingdom, and we know that it can't be the new heavens and the new earth, for there's nothing that would defile in that place. And we know that it isn't the present day, or even from the beginning of time up to the present day, for Babylon is presently inhabited. And as a matter of fact, I think that we all remember from recent news that Saddam Hussein had busied himself attempting to rebuild the city on the ancient site of Babylon, which is not very far from Baghdad on the river. And so Saddam had put out that he was the latter-day incarnation of Nebuchadnezzar himself. And so, even in recent days, there's been interest in the city of Babylon, as there always has been from time immemorial. No sooner had they debarked from the ark and begun to spread forth that they came into the land of Shinar, as the scripture tells us, and there they began to build a tower right on the site of ancient Babylon. Where was the Tower of Babel? Right there in the plain of Shinar. And it's been a hotbed of demonic activity ever since. Now, what were they up to in the building of that tower? Well, it's obvious that being sentient beings, they realized they couldn't raise up a physical structure that could reach into heaven, but they were up to so nefarious a thing that God realized that unless he put a stop to it, nothing would be restrained from them. In other words, the situation would become just as it was before the flood. How long did it take for the sons of Adam to revert to type? Not very long. And so we see then the confusion of languages, which is usually the way we use the word today, Babel, unintelligible gibberish, but it draws its name here from that confusion of tongues. Well, the scripture has an awful lot to say about Babylon. It's the mother of harlots. And we'll see that, of course, in the book of Revelation in its turn. But before we get there, let's just continue on from where we are into the 14th chapter of Isaiah. And it shouldn't surprise you very much that if you remove the chapter division here, you're going to find that we are very close to another subject which is intimately connected with the idea of Babylon. So let's take chapter 14 and we'll just start in the fourth verse. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing when Babylon is dealt with in verse number 6. Verse 8. Yes, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones and the kings of the nations. Now you probably notice a thing that's connecting what we're reading now with what we read in the previous chapter. Let's press forward. Verse 10. And they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Is he still speaking of Babylon here? Let's read on. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? All doubt has now been dispelled. But it almost seemed like a few verses prior to this, he's still speaking to Babylon. Keep your ears up, he is. Verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of the grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain thrust through with a sword, and go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. That almost sounds like what Isaiah said in the previous chapter is going to happen to Babylon, the city. There's a close connection between Lucifer and the city of Babylon. Verse 21. Prepare slaughter for his children for the iniquity of their fathers, and they do not rise nor possess the land nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and the remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bittern and pools of water. I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, Surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. Just a moment to let this sink in. We said a moment ago that Babylon holds a very prominent place in the scriptures. Here we see that the city is connected with its king, and its king is none other than Lucifer, this son of the morning. And as Babylon is to be completely overthrown, we see also that its king is to be completely overthrown. And as the city of Babylon is never again to be inhabited, we see that the descendants of this king and the subjects of this king will be totally removed from the earth. Never again to rise. Satan, the prince of Babylon. I don't think we're too surprised then to find out that during the millennial kingdom, it will be exactly as the Lord said that it is to be. Can't you see passers-by many years into the millennium passing by the ancient site of Babylon, a place where the demons dance, and look at it and say, that's what it deserved. That's what its king deserves. They'll look at it narrowly and say, is that the place that once ruled the earth? Is that the king that once ruled the earth? What's the last thing that the proud can stand? The devil, that proud spirit, cannot endure being mocked. Babylon, the great? Not hardly. Let's look a little bit at some of the history and days gone by of this particular city by going to Isaiah chapter 21. Isaiah chapter 21, and we'll start reading in verse number 1. Isaiah 21, beginning in verse number 1. The burden of the desert of the sea, as whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously unto the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media, all the sighing thereof I have made to cease. We see the kings of what? Elam, which we discovered is modern Persia and Media. Speaking of the Medo-Persian Empire here. Verse 3. Therefore are my loins filled with pain, pangs have taken upon me as the pangs of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down with the hearing of it, I was dismayed at the seeing of it. My heart panted, fearfulness affrighted me, the night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. Prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed, and he cried, a lion. My Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights, and behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen. We'll see that same phrase repeated somewhere else. And all the graven images of her God he hath broken unto the ground. O my threshing and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have declared unto you. We can look back in secular history and see that this prophecy of Isaiah was performed exactly as he said that it would be. Now we know from our studies of prophecy that the Old Testament prophets would prophesy short-term events so that when they came to pass, we'd understand that their long-term predictions were equally true. And so as we look back in human history, what do we know about the Medo-Persian Empire and a certain king named Belshazzar? In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. They thought that their fortress was absolutely impregnable. They thought that it would be impossible for any engine of destruction to enter into the city. It was considered impregnable. It was one of the ancient wonders of the world. It was a very imposing place in its day, and no one in their right mind could have imagined that it could fall to an enemy. They were self-sufficient within the walls of the city. They could grow enough food to feed themselves. They had an endless supply of water from the river. They could simply close the two-leaved gates and let the enemy wear themselves out, because outside the walls of the city, there was no source of food. There was no place of shelter. It was a desert. They were impregnable, or so they thought. But what did Isaiah say was going to happen? Isaiah said the city was going to fall to the Medes and the Persians. At the time that Isaiah is writing, how likely would that have seemed? And when you consider the ascendancy of Babylon, how likely would that have seemed? At that time, the Assyrian Empire was ascendant. The Egyptian Empire was mighty. And the Chaldeans send out this, in the words of a later general, a contemptible little army, and at one battle vanquishes the most powerful nations on the earth, and Babylon sets itself up. Seemed like it came out of nowhere, but it didn't. Isaiah has already told us that that installation, if you will, on the plain of Shinar, that Tower of Babel, and that city that rose in that locale, was to be great in the earth. And sure enough, here it happens. Isaiah's prophecy comes to pass. What else can we learn about this city? Well, I think it's probably time to look at Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51. If you want to get the lowdown on their lowdown, Jeremiah is probably the place to find it. And sure enough, Jeremiah 51, and we'll start reading in verse number 7. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. How for her? Take balm for her pain, if so she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go every one into his own country, for her judgment reaches up to heaven and is lifted up even to the skies. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come, and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Now this looks a little confusing at first blush, because the scripture says in verse 7 that Babylon's been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. That's interesting, especially when you remember that the Lord uses Satan as a useful idiot to sift the children of men. He's been in the business of calling out a people for himself, which is the reason that human history has continued right up until this point, and will until the last one has been called in when the earth is reaped. But until that time, Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. Does that mean that the Lord engineered everything? No, absolutely not. God knows what Satan is going to do. We were told about that back in Isaiah chapter 14. He knows Satan's end. It's all programmed. Did God cause Satan to do it? No. Satan did it of his own volition. Same thing with Judas Iscariot. Satan incarnate, if you will. Did God know what Judas Iscariot was? Sure he did. Did he cause him to do it? No, he did it of his own volition. Same thing here. Babylon has been a useful tool in the Lord's hand. What else can we learn? Let's take this scripture and counterpoint it with Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16 and verse number 17. We'll start reading in verse number 17. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. That's a commonly used term, isn't it? Well, here's where it comes from. Verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven and from the throne saying, "It is done." It's been a long time since the Lord said from the cross, "It is finished." Now he says, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nation fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath, a golden cup in his hand. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. How much have men learned from the time the four horsemen go forth until the seventh angel pours out his vial in the last of the series of judgments? Does this say all that needs to be said about the human heart? Reading past the chapter division, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Now, since what's being described here has not yet taken place, therefore it's in our future, but the overthrow of Babylon by the Medes and the Persians was in our past, the short-range prophecy having come to pass. There's no reason to doubt this. Verse 2, "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been drunk with the wine of her fornication." Why, this sounds like language that's analogous to what we just finished reading in the Old Testament. "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." Now, the King James here, using King James terms, he wasn't admiring this woman. But what do we see? A cup for a cup? Verse number 5. "On her forehead was a name written, Mystery, comma, Babylon the Great, comma, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." What do we learn from this? Out of Babylon, every falsehood that's ever been imagined in the minds of man or even of the God of this world, Babylon is the reservoir of all of it. Babylon is the fountainhead of all of it. It all comes together in Babylon. Are we surprised that the nations still conjecture concerning Babylon, that there was a great deal of excitement when Saddam Hussein set about rebuilding that city? We are going to discover as time goes by that another will arise which will rebuild that city. It will be a glorious and a huge city. The British had engineers in the plain of Shinar with plans drawn up how to divert water into the place and turn it back into a huge oasis and make it a great metropolitan place on the earth. Just as the world has been trying to put the Humpty Dumpty of the fractured Roman Empire back together, it's also been planning to restore the former glory, if you will, of Babylon. They've been busy with it. Now, we've run out of time for this morning, but I would have you to be thinking about Revelation 17 and 18, where we see the actual judgment of this great whore in her two forms, as an economic power and as a spiritual power. Totally and completely destroyed during the millennial kingdom to be a waste pit geographically, a place inhabited by demons. It'll be a wonderful thing as we return with the Lord during the millennium to watch the peoples of the earth as they file past that place and look at it narrowly, it and its king. The devil, that proud spirit, cannot bear being mocked. Let's pray.